bring this Budget and Finance Committee meeting to order. Scott wasn't able to make it tonight, and I don't think, did he provide any printouts, Scott, for the financial? There they are. Oh, yeah, the card would be in mind. All right, yeah, normally he does a rundown of the balances here of the big funds. You can kind of see those there for yourself, where they're at. If you have any questions, email Scott. Now let's see. The next page, you can see county general revenue follows the trend in the past where we see a sharp rise there in May, which we expected that. Let's see. Next sheet, we are from last year. This month, we're up 5.76% to be a grand total of 12% increase in our sales tax revenue from last year. I can't give those projections like Scott's normally able to give, like, well, you know, I would expect that to slow down or anything like that. So I can't. You'll have to fill in the blank there yourself. Yeah, appreciate it. And then, let's see. And then the next one, you kind of see the rolling total there. Where we're at. And then our 3-month moving average over our 1-month moving average on the sales tax revenue there. Yeah, it's coming down. It's because of that gigantic increase we had in January, it's starting to stabilize out from that. So that's going to kind of skew those that graph a bit. Any questions on our finance report?
No question, but just wanted to let y'all know there was a little bit of an issue we had with the museum last month in regards to the funding and what to do with that. And I believe there's about a $35,000 transfer that was made. So not obviously one of the bigger funds we're talking about here, but that transfer was made in order to kind of keep the museum afloat for a couple months.
I want to pull up an email just that you referenced there. So from my understanding, the museum's got their county budget, and then they have a budget that is a foundation, a Faulkner County Museum Foundation budget. If you are familiar with foundations and how they operate with their organizations, that has a balance of about $70,000. But they also had another fund. Which was their, what they called their private funds, Faulkner County Museum private funds, that had that balance where that $35,000 came out of. So they moved that over there to kind of stabilize the account for the short term, I believe. And I think the judge's office is working on a fix for that going forward. They're working with them trying to come up with a solution moving forward. All right. Let's see. We'll run on to new business. Do we have a motion for proposed ordinance 24-27?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 24-27 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. We've got a motion and a second. Does anyone else, does anyone have any questions on these? This is kind of our normal monthly appropriations ordinance. Going once, going twice. All right, all in favor of passing 24-27 on to the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Do I have a motion for 24-28?
I make a motion to put proposed ordinance 24-28 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, Justice Coates.
Am I working?
Yeah. This might be just a little closer.
Do we need to read this or anything, Philip? Okay. Just what this is the additional, you know, if you guys remember the bid for the construction of the animal shelter came in at $1.2 million. Court had previously kind of passed a resolution for the $1.5 million. This is a $300,000 remaining balance of that. What this will entail is all of the extras. So just an example, the construction part is the concrete, the walls, the light fixtures, whatever. It's not any cabinets. It's not even any sinks. It's not kennels for sure. Or, you know, there's so many of the items that are needed that are we need cut sheets and spec sheets on for the construction side of things, that those need to be purchased. Washer, dryer, some of the furnishings that are going to be installed, we need to go ahead and move forward on purchasing those items.
I have a question. Is the construction everything looking like it's on time, on budget, and everything else? You may not be totally in the know on that. I'll just...
In my opinion, yes.
Okay.
I spent some time out there this week. There are a few changes that are coming through as far as construction side of things go. I find those pretty normal if you have a lot of experience. And it's fairly small stuff. We need water here. We need a drain here. We're trying to price out some things, making sure everything's cost effective. You know, now that we can walk through and see where our walls are, see how our stuff flows, we realize, you know, hey, this water hose be up here is not as functional. It might need to be moved to this wall. So there are a few changes, and we've gotten some change orders and some prices, and we're waiting on a few others to just try to make some decisions on where we sit on the cost of those changes. But at this point, we are in within the $100,000 contingency that was within the bid. And everything from NBOC says that we're on track as long as we can keep up with those, you know, small changes that we're making. And so far, everything's going really well.
Nice. Justice, do y'all have any more questions?
I have a question for you. And Justice, I don't know if you can answer this part, but Section 1, it talks about the $300,000, and it appears that it's going from 1006 fund to 0406. Mm-hmm. Is that just so that we can put it in there for, is there plans for that $300,000, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, that's moving from the, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, that's moving from the ARP fund into the animal shelter fund.
That's
what this ordinance will do, but that $300,000 is for all of those items that have to be purchased now.
Gotcha.
The kennels have to be ordered. Gotcha. There's a lead time. The washer and dryer, we're already on, we're behind schedule, so to speak, because they're making the cut sheet on, and we can't purchase one yet.
And that $300,000, I'm guessing you guys think will be enough to suffice your next.
Well, if I'm truthful, it's never going to be enough.
Oh, yeah. In this context, I understand that. Probably dumb question, but in this context, you guys feel good about $300,000 being enough to get you guys to whatever level you're trying to get to.
We are very hopeful that will fill the gap. So.
Good enough. Thank you.
You have any closing remarks?
Questions?
Any questions from our audience on this ordinance?
We did have a few of our board members here that are from the coalition group. If you have any questions.
And this will also be heard in full court pending its passage in this committee. Yeah. All right. Seeing no further questions, all in favor of passing proposed ordinance 24-28 on the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Do I have a motion for 24-29?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 24-29 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. We've got a motion and a second. I want to take a stab at this and say that normally, you know, we're here, we're halfway through the year. Normally the sheriff's office is not fully staffed. That seems to be the trend. And about halfway through the year, we're going to take that money that we did not spend on full-time salaries because they were not fully staffed and transition it over to overtime, because in order to do their job, the people who are still there have to pick up the work in overtime. Am I correct? Yes? All right. Fantastic. All right, and then Mr. Woolley or Ms. Woolley, whichever. Thanks. I just wanted to ask about Section 8, which is the $100,000 from for parts and repair. That's a new appropriation from your fund into your budget. So I just want to ask about that.
Well, good evening, first of all. So right now we have about 93 cars at the sheriff's office. I ran some numbers earlier looking at mileage and kind of play into this. Currently about 45% of our cars are under 100,000 miles. Nearly 42% are between that 100,000 and 150,000 miles, and 12% between 150,000 and 200,000, and we have a couple that are over 200,000 miles. I feel like we're still feeling the effects of the manufacturer shutdown that happened a couple of years ago, because we had not been able, used to, before inflation and the high prices, we could trade out our cars at 100,000 miles, and we kept, but as time has went by, cars have cost more. Equipment is anywhere from 18 to 23% higher this year than to upfit a car. So, long story short, we went through a lot more repairs. I think this year so far, I've probably put in 4 or 5 motors in these cars. I mean, any of y'all that's done the ride along, you see how our cars, I mean, they run all day long, and they're zero to however fast they got to go to get to where they're going. So, of course, wear and tear, cars ain't made like they used to be. So, we have felt a significant impact on vehicle repairs this year.
Chief Willett, do you know about how much unappropriated money y'all have in 3407?
Look on your list.
Oh, there you go. Sorry about that.
According to the May report that's listed on the county's website, it says $450,407.95.
Okay. Perfect.
We are hoping that we took care of the majority of the repairs at the first this first half of the year, and it will hopefully settle down.
Okay. Justices, any more questions on 24-29?
Yeah, Chairman. So on sections 3, 4, and 5, if I understood you right, that's $87,093,000. That's all going into overtime. Is that what that?
That sections, actually, sections 1 through 5 are all overtime.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And usually with the sheriff's report that we get every month, I believe it does list like we have so many vacant positions, you know, on the sheriff's report. And I don't remember what those numbers are right now.
Well, for May, in detention alone, it was 14. What was the average vacant openings in detention?
But yes, all of that is overtime. Plus, I think, I'm just guessing y'all had about $1 million through all of your departments scheduled in overtime. Maybe not scheduled, budgeted. You had that much overtime budgeted, maybe, in your original budgets?
I mean, I don't have that total added together.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I do, and I presented just like we're doing right now, about midway last year, I did the same exact thing. We came before the court. When I noticed that one of our payrolls are going to start getting short, I look at all of them and we present it as a whole. So that way, if I can project that we're going to be running short in other areas before the new year, I try to do full picture before and not just nickel and diming, or, you know, not give you the whole extent. Because if we can transfer it from one department within the same fund to another, then we'll do that. Like from one county jail department or the sheriff's department, if it's both in county general, or vice versa, if it's criminal justice. But as of right now, in those budget areas off of projections, that's on average what I can see that we're going to run short. But granted, like he was saying, in the month of May, we were short 14 people or 14 positions in jail. And as of right now, I just pulled my figures. I believe we only have 10 vacancies. So it changes. And also, we have some promotions that are pending. And so that'll also change. And so I actually did a payroll process today. It doesn't pay until Thursday, but I did run a report right before I came up here, and I would like to ask that you amend Section 2 to $70,000, just based on the fact that I ran a position budget forecast on that, and we have filled some of those vacancies, and it changed the amount of money that I believe is available, at least at this point, and I don't want to ask for anything that I can't for certain see that is there right now. So now I think we're going to need more maybe, but I'm only asking for what I can see that's available possibly.
When do you think you would be back to ask for more?
Hold on just a moment.
That's what I thought. Usually you come near the end of the year. And
if I had to project, I believe that the $70,000, now we did some shift changes and things that have helped, I believe, with our overtime usage, but I can't see a full effect of that just yet. We've had about 3 to 4 pay periods in process since then, so I believe that it's helping, but so it's kind of hard because we had 8-hour shifts for a little while, now we're going back to 12s, and so it's helped a little bit, but also we're filling some of those vacancies we've had, so don't really know which one or both are helping, but I would say just, I'll probably revisit this as a whole, like I am right now, in October and November.
Alright.
I know it doesn't take up for the amount that we're asking, but another thing is when we budgeted our overtime last year, we budgeted based off salaries prior to the 6% COLA.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
With the salary progression that has, you know, took effect on some of our overtime numbers.
Just for perspective, I just looked in the budget real quick. Throughout their funds and their things, at least what's being asked for here, there was budgeted about close to $650,000 worth of overtime was what was baked into what was in their budget. Throughout these funds and these things. And so this is additional overtime to cover the lack of personnel, I guess. Is that right? That's the vacancies that you've got over there. Justices, do we have a motion for amendment of Section 2?
I make a motion to amend the $94,000 in Section 2 to $70,000.
Second.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we've got that amended. Justices, any more questions on 24-29?
I have a question on guys. I see the information you shared with us about all the numbers in the Sheriff's Department on the patrol job vacancies. I only see that there's one. Is that still current? What do you want?
So, yes, and it's filled. Patrol is, we've turned a curve there.
Yeah.
You know, the last few years were rough, but now we have applications upon applications to come to patrol. So we're doing fairly well on our patrol side. Just struggling a little bit on the detention.
So, make a good job on the patrol side.
Yes, sir.
All right, Justice, any more questions?
I do.
Yes, ma'am.
Chief Deputy, well, you and I know have spoken multiple times about different projects, programs, whatever you want to call it. I'm not a fan of overtime, I'm just going to be honest. And I'm not a fan of having so many vacancies in our detention center. I don't think any of us are. You and I and a couple of others have spent some time there, and we discussed some of the programs as far as being proactive with the retainment bonuses. The CTE programs with some of the high schools, because you can be a detention officer at 18. Have any of those programs, has any of them been discussed any further? Or where do we need to go to
to change this?
So I've looked at, as far as the high school program, I have looked at, there is a, I can't remember which state, I've got it printed out in my office, but there is another state that does something like that, that has a model that I've been kind of looking at to see. We've had some supervisor changes in the jail, obviously. So working on recruitment and retainment is the end of the day. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough job in itself. And I know we don't like overtime, but we're at an overcrowded facility. I mean, we've got right now 198 people in 118 with a shift coverage of 4 or 5. You know, I understand overtime is frowned upon, but we got to keep people safe. And we got to keep our detainees safe. And in order to cover those shifts, I don't know what the perfect answer is. That's what we're looking for every day, as far as retaining people. Some of it, I think we've done fairly well on salary. You know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that it may not be supervisory. I mean, there's a whole area of things that you have. I'm not saying we have a supervisory problem, but sometimes it's not just pay. Sometimes it's, you know, just how we supervise people. I mean, there's a whole list of things that go into making somebody want to stay, but being cooped up in four walls of a detention center 12 hours a day is a hard job. And sometimes that is just it. It's just that.
And I wanted to add, I know we presented this before to the Capcom Court, but when we have had our Joel Sanders studies done, that study, they have actually looked at our shift schedules, looked at our positions that we have for both of the units, and it's been stated by Joel Sanders that we are actually short 9 to 10 positions just within covering shifts and making sure that there's enough positions there so if somebody does need to be off sick for an extended amount of time, if somebody does need to take vacation, things like that. So that's part of the reason that this happens, not necessarily just vacancies and the workload, but it also is the fact that with the two units being separate the way they are and the way that it's designed and functioned and shift coverage, we're already behind. So it's going to happen.
And it's been stated on multiple years worth the jail standard reviews that we are short, even with the amount of personnel we have. We're still 10 short. So we work on that every day. I know that was a long way around, but Captain Watkins is here. He's our jail administrator. He can probably explain a little bit more on the inside workings of the jail if you have any questions for him. But it's a constant working to try to find better retainment and recruitment ways of doing things. So I've had a guy call in people and do studies. Say, all right, what's our weaknesses? What's our strengths? What can we work on? Some of it's training. All right, we're putting on training, but guess what training costs? Training costs money. It costs overtime because these guys have to train. They either have to go work their shift or we have to find somebody to work their shift. So, you know, it's kind of it's a revolving deal. So, but we're working on it. I promise you that.
We appreciate that. And if there's anything I can do for courts and public safety, training-wise, reaching out to some of our school districts, you know, whatever we need to do, even appreciation-wise for our detention officers and our detention center.
Yes, ma'am.
Justice, any more questions on 24-29? All in favor of passing this full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Chief Lee. All right. Being mindful of our time, do we have any more business before the Budget and Finance Committee?
Justice Lahasky, if I may.
Yes, Justice.
Last month, we had several ordinances that were brought to our committee, and I was one of the ones that brought forth a motion to table those. And at this point, I would like to make a motion to bring back, and I don't know if I need to do them one at a time, but the first one is proposed ordinance 2424. I'd like to bring that back on the table.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right.
What this one is our Deputy Clerk 3, which is in a
real estate, Ms. Eastman's office. When I spoke earlier at last month's budget meeting, one of the things that I said was, you know, I needed some more time, and I needed to be a little bit more, I needed to look in and see where we were at. I reached out to some of these officials. I just wanted more information, and I felt like the committee and the court needed more information before I made an informed decision. And so that's why I wanted to bring it back off the table and at least hear from these people. So Ms. Eason, would you like to explain what the ordinance is and how it's funded and all those things?
Yes, so it is for my real estate manager, Diana. And she has been with us for 13 and a half years. She's actually been in this position doing all these things since 2017. She is responsible for, we have all of our deeds scanned. Now they're not all indexed, but that's what she's responsible for, is making sure that they're getting indexed, they're indexed properly. And she does our UCC lien searches. She balances our real estate for the end of the day. She helps me with the end of the month. And like I said, she's been doing this for some time, and I just want to bring her up. I feel like she's behind for her position in what she does. And it's also paid out of the cost recorder's fund. It is not out of county general.
Jessica, do you have any copies of the ordinance? I know it's online.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you do. There you go. Okay.
That would be helpful.
Yes, Committee, I want to ask you a question. Be mindful of our full court meeting that starts at 6, we have the option to make a motion to recess this committee, and then we can go into full court, and then we can convene our committee when full court is over. It's up to y'all. I guess, do we need a motion to recess?
Okay, I'll make a motion to recess until after full court.
There you go. Do we have a second?
The issue is whether you want to get these ordinances to the full court tonight. Now, we haven't published the ordinances. It's okay to discuss them in this meeting. I would recommend that y'all just recess, take them up after full court in committee, and then we can deal with if they are passed
on next month's agenda.
So go ahead and vote to pass him this month, but put him on the full court next month.
Okay. So just motion to, I just want to make sure you understand that in delaying this, please.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for explaining that. You made a motion to recess. Someone seconded it?
Second.
You seconded it. All in favor of the motion to recess and reconvene after full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Budget and Finance Committee is recessed.
Class number 5.